Scott Stinson, National Post sports columnist, joins us talking about the World Junior. Scotty, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. Scott, I want to ask you, first of all, now I'm a media guy. I can't stand how they do the cuts for the World Juniors. Like one guy at a time, like either announce them all at once. I don't even know if I necessarily need to talk to these kids. I'd probably rather talk to guys like Braden Point, who some didn't think was going to make the team. You know, like, do you think they're ever going to change their thought process on that?
I don't know. It's weird because, you know, the point has been made many times now that it's really an awkward the way they do it. And then the poor guys are trotted out before, you know, the cameras to, you know, basically explain themselves, even though, as with like a guy like Michael Dal Colle, who was cut, he's like, I don't know, I thought I had a good camp. But I mean, he's an older player. He would have been a returnee. He's having a good year in the OHL. So it is tough. And I'm with you on this. It's obviously these aren't, you know, delicate flowers. They're all guys, with the exception of a couple, who are already NHL draftees. But it just seems very strange the way they do it. And it's very strange given that generally the players are relatively sheltered in this environment. We don't get to go into the locker rooms in the way we do with an NHL team. They only bring players out, and you have to sort of ask for them by name. And then if they're available, they bring them out. So they go to this, you know, extra effort to acknowledge that these are not full-time professionals yet who necessarily are used to dealing with a lot of media. And then that said, they go through this, you know, guillotine of cuts. It's a pretty strange way to do it.
Yeah, it's totally a contradictory. I don't understand it. Well, next time I get Tom Rennie on, I'm going to talk to him about it because he might be the one guy that might agree with it. Now, the cuts, there wasn't a lot of backlash this season across the board, you know, on guys who got cut. There's a lot of very good players on this team, and, you know, the guys who got cut aren't bad players themselves. Many of them probably going to be good NHLers, but this is the first year in a while that I can remember not a real backlash of anybody getting cut.
Yeah, the one guy that stuck out to me was Michael Dal Colle, who I mentioned. I mean, he was playing, he had, I think, 46 points in 23 games with Oshawa in the OHL. He was the fifth overall draft pick a couple of years ago by the Islanders. I mean, he's a very talented player. The sort of stated reason is that once Curtis Lazar became available, he just was too similar. You know, he was the power winger. He's Lazar's going to play center, but he's going to play wing. At least that's the plan with the juniors now. So it was kind of like he was the odd man out when he arrived, which, you know, fair enough. But sometimes you do wonder, though, if we overthink it a little. I mean the coaching staff of Team Canada, because they do have so much talent to choose from, and, you know, they're trying to sort of think of line combinations and who might play this type of a role and that type of a role. Sometimes you just sort of wonder. I wonder if they should just have the best guys, and it'll all sort out at the end. Like, I'd rather have a guy who's a surefire offensive threat if the other guy is having a tough game than you have that much more depth. But, you know, they've done it this way for a while, and I suppose there's an argument to be made that having, you know, an energy line and a third line that's more checking oriented is not necessarily a bad way to do it either. That way they have done in the past, and it has worked. So it's one of those things, probably, however they do it, there's ways to sort of poke holes at it, but you're certainly right that there hasn't been like the big backlash of, oh, this guy should have totally made the team. I think people realize that there's a lot of very skilled players in this team. So even if there's one guy you might point to that could have been used, they're probably not going to be lacking for scoring.
Scott Stinson from the National Post joined us talking World Juniors, which, of course, get going at 6 o'clock Edmonton time on Boxing Day. And, you know, interesting are the side stories now, the Eichel story, all the rumors that maybe after this tournament he might be going to major junior hockey. What are you hearing more on that, Scott?
I've heard with you, which is that it's this rumor out now that his camp may have realized that he might sort of have hit a ceiling playing at Boston College, and that there's some extra value in the, you know, months left before the NHL draft for him to go and basically play in the same league as Connor McDavid and show his abilities there. It would be kind of fascinating because, as you know, there's this, you know, cold war essentially between the NCAA and the CHL in terms of getting the best players. And for a guy like Eichel to make a jump with months less than what would have been his university career to just do it. It would be an acknowledgement that this is the stage you have to prove yourself on. And I'm sure there'd be many an executive in the CHL, you know, doing cartwheels over the fact that they would be able to get that kind of a player to come in. I think it'll be interesting to see. In a way, I'd be a little surprised only because it would be such a, you know, a statement about about the NCAA in a bad way and about the CHL in a good way. Like, I'm not sure if a guy like Jack Eichel, with this little time left in his amateur career, necessarily wants to be become a symbol of that kind of thing. Like, you'd almost just think he, at this point, I mean, he's either going to go first or second, it all, unless something dramatic happens injury-wise. So I'm not sure, but the upside necessarily it weighs what would become the sideshow of it all if he decides to make a switch.
Scott Stinson joins us. Yeah, it would it definitely cause a little bit more of a consternation, I think, between the two organizations. There'd be no arguing there for sure. The Canada team, it seems the only question mark some people have maybe is goaltending. And I know out west, there's, and obviously in Edmonton, there are people that are biased, and rightfully so. You know, Tristan Jarry won a Memorial Cup, played huge for them. Zach Fucali was pulled, you know, last year, wasn't great at the World Juniors, then wasn't even starting for his team in the playoffs. And when people talk about big games, some are surprised that Jarry wasn't there. Is that maybe the only, if there was a question mark for Canada in goal, as to far as whether or not Comrie or him can be that guy with all the pressure of playing on home ice?
Yeah, for sure it's the big question mark, because neither of these guys have done it on a big stage, and also they only brought two goalies. I mean, we remember years ago there'd be time where you'd have three, even four at the sort of early part of camp, and they'd often break camp with three goalies and they'd play each one of them in a preliminary round game, and then they would sort of pick one from there. So the fact that they kind of didn't have even an extra body in camp to challenge for the position was a bit surprising. And then to go with these two guys, I mean, to a certain extent you go, well, it's a goalie. They're skilled. They know what they're doing. They've got all this firepower ahead of them and a team that frankly doesn't give up a ton of shots. So to my mind, I think one of the bigger challenges of being a goalie for Team Canada is it's a very unusual ability to basically sit there for long stretches and have no challenge at all. And then you have that one or two points during the game where you have to all of a sudden make a big save. Like, I think in many ways it's easier for goalies to get into the flow and rhythm of the game when their team in front of them is as dominant as the Canadian team can be. So you wonder if that's going to be the challenge. Like, say they open with Slovakia, who shouldn't be a big challenge. And then I think their second game is with Germany. And then, you know, they won't really get pressed until New Year's Eve, the last game in the prelims against the United States. Well, by that time, whichever goalie is the one might have really not been challenged at all. And then, you know, they give up a bad goal early against the U.S. and, oh, my God, then it's all, you know, that becomes the narrative. They go into a medal round and can they get goaltending and the goalie controversy. And it's basically the nightmare that Benoit Gruelle and his team don't want. But you don't know if you're good in goal until such time as your goalie proves it. And these are not guys that so far have proved it. Obviously, they're capable. And, you know, if they play like they did again in the first couple of games, I mean, they outshot the Russians something like 51-15 in regulation. They ended up losing in OT. But, you know, if you normally have that kind of a performance, I don't think you're going to have too many opportunities where everyone's pointing the finger at the goal. I mean, they just have to do a decent job for you to have a fairly decent advantage.
Scott, one last one for you. The crowds obviously are going to be huge for the Canada games. The ticket sales for all the other ones, I know in Edmonton when they did it, you had to buy the package. So there actually was really good crowds for the non-Canada games. Is it going to be? Did they do the same thing for this in Toronto, Montreal?
They sure did. You could buy 13 games in Montreal. You could buy 19 in Toronto because the medal round games are in Toronto. They have opened up single game tickets in Montreal, and I think there are more available than I necessarily expected. I don't believe there's much available at all in Toronto, so they're going to be busy, especially at the time of year. You know, like, it's Toronto's obviously both places are big cities, and there's lots of people who will just say, ah, what the hell, I'll go for the day and, you know, go to the early match, and it might be Czech against Finland, but you go and you watch that, and then you fart around downtown for a while, and then you go see Team Canada play in the evening. I mean, I think they'll have no problem at all with big crowds, and that obviously should be an advantage to Canada. I can't, you know, I was talking to Scott Salmon, the executive vice president of Hockey Canada, last week, and asking about the pressure of playing in front of a big crowd, and he was like, you've got 18,000 people, you know, doing Go Canada Go. I just can't see how that's a bad thing to your team.
Yeah, that's,
you know, he makes a good point, right? Like, it's pressure, but it's also, that's got to be a lot of fun for those kids, and you'd rather have 18,000 people cheering for you than 18,000 people cheering against you, I would.
You betcha, Scotty. I appreciate your time, man. Have a great Christmas, and enjoy the tournament.
Okay, thanks. Have a good one.